Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Happy 2024, dear listener. Welcome to the Listener Labyrinth. Imagine me, your goblin king, except without hair, goblins, a crown, or a catchy sing-song. But yes, you're quite right, my trousers are extremely tight and revealing. This labyrinth, by the way, is special. One of a kind, even. While you slept, we snuck into your room and scanned your thumbprint. We digitized it, blew it up, and reconstructed it, and then threw you inside. Now all you need to do is escape. But don't fret. If you get lost, all you need to do is stick out your thumb and use the map you were born with. But you better get out quick there, for there are dangers hiding within. Beasts. Traps. There's people who try to get you to sign for charities when you've really got somewhere to be. And all that leftover Christmas pudding that grandparents keep buying that nobody would ever eat because it's disgusting, alright? And 5 short stories. Some of these stories will offer you questions, some will offer choices, but all will take a toll in some way or another. When, if you make it out of the labyrinth of your own thumbprint, you might find yourself going about your day and discover that some part of you has fundamentally been rearranged. And you will recognize then that, yes, a price was paid. The first story, Maze Play, was written by Georgia Cook. The second, Champion of Meridoria, was written by JT Shields. The third story, Inside the House of Mirrors, was written by our favorite Giallo tag team of writer and translator Nicola Lombardi and Jay Weintraub. The fourth, The Tarpin Maze, is from Jesse Krenzel. And the fifth, TOS Plus exclusive story, A Choice in the Matter, will be brought to you by Jason Fisher. Our vowel artists and consonant readers are James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horrors, Justin Fife, Georgia Cook, Manny Real Guy, and Sarah Jane Justice. And on editing duties, we have the Rat Pack of the audio editing world themselves, Carl Hughes, Duncan Muggleton, and James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horrors himself, again. If you enjoy what we do, be sure to become a TOS Plus member. Not only will you be supporting the show, you'll get access to the premium feed, which includes exclusive content, ad-free, it's early access, high-quality audio, and if you're interested, there's community fun times. Mostly, though, you'll be supporting your favourite weekly weird fiction podcast. More info to be found at theotherstories.net/plus. Once again, that's theotherstories.net/plus. Over on Patreon, we have 2 new superpowered patrons, so prepare to taste the rainbow, smell the dream, and welcome to the superpowered Patreon team. I wonder how many times I've said that now. a lot, but I like it. Christopher Nelson. Christopher can drink washing up liquid and squirt soapy bubbles from his fingertips. Light-hearted party trick, sure, but another soldier in the war on terror. Meeps Marie has the dancing digits. Meeps Marie's fingers can dance independently of her body, performing all manner of intricate routines that dazzle and mesmerise. The only downside is that when they start popping and locking, there just ain't no stopping them. Thank you, both of you, for joining the fight to take over the world of independent audio fiction. You'll get access to over 80 exclusive episodes a week early and ad-free. And this month's exclusive episode is a strange one for us. We don't often do this. We tell original fiction on this podcast, mainly. But being as it's the holiday season, we wanted to do something a little bit different, so we did a cover of a classic, The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. When a man obsesses over his elderly roommate's disturbing eyeball, or disturbing eye, his fixation leads to a chilling murder. As he battles with his own spiraling sanity, the incessant beating of a heart beneath the floorboards threatens to expose his darkest secret. And that's narrated by the one and only Justin Fife. So if you want to see how we approach that story, then you'll have to become a TOS Plus member. Head over to theotherstories.net/plus for more. So today, as it's a brand new year, we wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to gather around some of our creatives that work on The Other Stories and have a bit of a roundtable discussion. So if you're interested to see what kind of things our team likes, what kinds of things our team are up to, then stick around. And also, I have no idea how this is going to go. I've never done it before. Wish me luck. Here we go.
Happy New Year, TOS listeners. Thanks for staying tuned with us for all of last year. So for the start of this year, I thought it'd be cool to get a little TOS tapas of creatives, people who are in front of the scenes, behind the scenes, people who haunt the scenes like terrible ghouls. So I'm joined by a few people here today. We're joined by, and I'll say your name, and then if you guys want to just give a quick introduction about who you are and what you do, that would be excellent. I'm joined by, Carl Hughes. Hello, Carl.
Hello, Luke. How's it going?
Not too bad. Do you want to tell us who the devil are you?
Yeah, so my name is Carl Hughes. I am the lead audio editor, director, I can't remember now, at The Other Stories. Back in the early days, I used to edit all the episodes, which was really hard, but luckily I have a lot more help now. We have a lot more help with other editors, so that's good. So I would like to say, oh, you hear me each week in the editing, but that's no longer the case. It's usually probably one of the other two editors now as well, just as much, if not more than me, which is great. I'll hand over to Jazz.
Hi, I'm Jazz. You do hear me from time to time because I am one of the narrators on the team. I did one of the Christmas episodes not long ago, for example. I am also the resident poet, shrieker of poetry to people who care and also people who don't care. And I sort of help out in the Discord community. So happy New Year, everyone.
Just to confirm, that's Jasmine Arch, but we call it Jazz.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Cool. Who next? Should we go with Joshua Boucher, the man with the nuclear codes?
Hello. My name is Joshua Boucher, or Boucher, whichever you want. I help out with the Facebook group, which we like to foster reading and writing in it. And I also help out reading submissions and doing some of the QA for the episode to make sure there's no flaws like an idiot blabbering on.
Cool. And then last, we've got James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horrors himself.
Hello. Yep, James Barnett, Jimmy Horrors here. Originally a fan. And then from being a fan, I started creating my own podcast, the Night's End podcast. And I reached out to Luke, I believe, and they brought me under their wing. I started doing some narration for them. And I've also done some writing. And now, predominantly, I'm an audio editor for The Other Stories, which has been amazing especially this year. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's what I do.
Jimmy's done a ton of the editing this last year. Tragic Kingdom, you did all of the After the Gloaming series, you did the Halloween special Dream, and a bunch of the regular episodes as well, Christmas special. You've done a lot this year. It's insane, actually.
I've been so busy. Loved it, though. The spectrum of the genres in there has been great. Very challenging.
Yeah. One thing people might notice is that a lot of people who start working with us are just listeners or fans who just get in touch, and then we'd say, do you want to help? Do you want to join in? I guess first big topic for us is, how has podcast fiction changed since we started back in 2016, and where will it go in the future? And I don't know who wants to take that first. Jazz, do you want to take that?
How it's changed is, I think we see sort of more different directions popping up. We're seeing more like people doing full-on audio drama, or like the way The Other Stories does it, which is not really complete audio drama. We do still have like narration in the stories, and most of our stories don't have like different voices for different characters, but we do have an amazing soundscape thanks to our awesome audio editors. I think, I don't know, I the future is, it's all a bit up in the air right now with the whole AI revolution, isn't it? I'm not sure where we're going on that. I'm thinking, because to me, the most important trait about audio fiction is the intimacy. Nothing is as intimate as someone whispering a story into your ear. And I think we're going to see more of that again, to sort of keep, people are going to focus more on the human aspect of the work, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to go both ways. Like, I think you're going to have, like, you've got studios, proper studios, jumping in and doing these full-fledged audio drama series. Like, you've got the recent Buffy series that's just happened. Like, that's massive. But then, yeah, you've got, you know, the small intimate ones that you're talking about as well.
Yeah, more money coming into the, like, when we first started, there was just like a few small independent podcasts. There wasn't, I mean, you could probably count them all on like on five hands. That's as many as you need. But now it's like there's so many, and there's like so much money into studios and actors. Like Jazz said, like you've got the audio drama types, you've got the narration types of podcasts. It's more variation, I guess.
Yeah, it certainly has changed even since, you know, we've started doing it, Luke. Some of the things that I've noticed that have changed and what will continue to change, I think even just the definition of podcast. So I mean, I remember hearing about podcasts back in the mid 2000s with the rise of iTunes, and you would go on iTunes, you'd download the podcast and you'd sync it to your iPod, and then and that was how you did it, and that's how it was for years. And so podcasts have maybe been around for 15 years now, I'm not sure, maybe longer. But what's interesting is I speak to some people and you say the word podcast and they say, what's that? I've never listened to a podcast. I don't know what that is, which I find quite strange still, but also not that surprising. When we look at other more recent mediums, such as video games, I think pretty much after a few years, if you spoke to your grandparents about a video game, okay, they may not have played one or have played what you're talking about, but they would understand what it is. But now we're entering this new era of technology where some people are just decades almost behind, and it becomes very difficult to catch up, and people are just being left behind completely. But then I also find it quite easy to introduce them to it. Like you get them onto the app, you give them a recommendation because everybody has a smartphone. And then all of a sudden, they could become your new greatest fan, even after having never even listened to a single podcast before. But it still sometimes requires that little bit of bit of an introduction. You know, you don't just turn on the TV and watch a film or a TV show. There is a technological layer to it where you have to know how to download an app or search for things. And I think some of the older generation just aren't quite there. So I'm hoping things will become easier, perhaps, or I'm not sure. I think with the help of people like Spotify and Apple in particular now really getting into podcasts, whereas before it was a bit more, you know, low budget, low, you know, not as much noise around it. It feels like this year and last year there's been a real big boom. I've even seen adverts on the television for podcasts from, I think, Spotify or Apple. So yeah, I think there's going to be a whole new generation of perhaps the older audience, similar to how all of our mums and dads got into Facebook maybe 10 years ago and now they love it. But it required that push, didn't it? We all got them onto it and now they absolutely love it, and now we've all left it, but they're still on it. So yeah, that's a few of the things I think about podcasts in particular anyway.
When I went to the cinema, I can't remember what film it was recently, but that Buffy audio drama was like featured like a trailer before. It was like there's all the normal film trailers, and then there was the trailer for this Buffy audio drama. So there's definitely like a big push towards growing the awareness of it. Josh, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, the sheer volume of it alone that's out there, because I started listening when Apple first released their podcast app, and just the amount of material that's out there. I think it makes it a little harder for the smaller guys to get in and get something going and get established. But that is the way of things. Then also the sound quality. Like one of my favorite early on was We're Alive, and I'm actually listening to it with my son right now, the whole series again. And just, it's an amazing show, and just and how much the production went into it, but the quality of sound, like the volumes and stuff like that, has changed. So that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed is the quality.
Yeah, I think even like we talk about AI, like sound fixing has changed a lot for a lot of people recently. And just like the access to equipment, and even this thing we're recording this on right now, there wasn't really anything like this like 7 years ago. You just had to get like a little widget for Skype, and it was pretty janky. Yeah, I don't know if anyone else has anything else they wanted to add to that. Jimmy?
Fiction has got a long way to go. I think it's come a long way, obviously, from when you guys started. Definitely, it's come a long way. It's still got a long way to go, but the interview-style podcasts, like any major show that comes out these days, has a companion podcast where they, you know, interview the actors, and it just gives you extra content for that. But yeah, I think fiction generally does have a long way to go still. You've got apps out there like Apollo Podcast, where that's 100% fiction podcast, and they're really trying to push that, which is great. And it's an easier way for fiction podcasts to make money as well, because I think that's the hardest thing, because the outlay of money to make, say, an audio drama, for instance, is really high. For very little reward if you don't get picked up in the charts and become quite popular quite soon.
Yeah, like the amount of work that goes into, as opposed to making interview podcasts, an audio drama is insane. Although a lot of interview podcasts now are like a video as well. Like every single one seems to have a video aspect to it. And they're like full on TV studios at this point.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so our next subject or question: what can audio do that a page cannot? Carl, what do you reckon?
Yeah, so I thought about this question this morning, actually. I say this morning. I mean, I fully prepared for this several days in advance. but no, I was going to bring up an example of one of my favorite stories, which is Toast, written by Luke Condor, featuring a little robot toaster. Spoilers, if you haven't listened to Toast, please pause, go listen to Toast. I really think you'll enjoy it, and then come back. But for everyone else who has now listened to it, I will spoil a key part of the story. So there's a part in the story where Toast has built up the courage to basically zoom off the kitchen counter because he wants to get to the customers. And the story that Luke writes explains him building up his courage, and he goes back and forth, and eventually he revs up his little engines, revs up his wheels, and he goes flying off the counter. Now, there's nothing special about Toast. If you listen to the story, you know what's about to happen. And the way I edited the story is you kind of hear this build-up of energy, and then he goes flying off, you hear the wheels come off, and then all of a sudden you hear this horrible crashing metallic smashing sound, like you've just thrown a toaster on the floor, and it's really, really horrible to hear. And then the next part of the story is just Toast thinking to himself, and that's what flying feels like. And it really gets to me because of the sound aspect, the audio aspect. Whereas if it was just a written story, there feels like there would have been a piece missing. And whether Luke did this intentionally or not, I'm not sure. But if it was a story just for a book, I presume he would have had to add something like, and then the toaster smashed on the floor or something like that. But there was a gap there. And with that little piece of audio that just added to Luke's story, I feel like it really took the story to the next level, made you feel something through hearing the audio rather than being told what was happening all the time.
Yeah.
Now with the other stories, we obviously like narration, we like stories, we like the written word, but just those little flourishes of audio can just make your mind race. You really, you know, sometimes I find it difficult to imagine exactly what the author's thinking, which, you know, is, I suppose, the great thing about books, everybody interprets them a little bit differently. But with this, when you hear that little bit of audio, it just gives you something to catch on to. It puts you right in the moment. And I feel stuff like that really just is something that podcasts and audio can do really well.
Like an additive thing. And with the right music as well, it adds so much vibe and emotion to the story as well. Like, yeah, I never feel like it detracts. Never feel like it detracts from the story.
I think for the biggest thing is that, or narration is a big key that Paige can do. It's kind of like when you watch a movie based on a book, and you've got the characters in your head and what they look like and their movements and stuff. And then you read the book, and as you're reading the book, you can see their faces and how they talk and move. And it kind of enhances the book. I think narration is similar to that, where, you know, when you read a book, you hear the voice in your head that, you know, your brain comes up with, as opposed to a narrator that adds that a little bit more flavor, especially if it's a really good narrator. So,
yeah, that's interesting, because I always relate things back to comic books for some reason. But I feel like in a comic book script, a script can be written one way, and you get 10 different artists and you'll get 10 different versions of the story with all different flavors and different interpretations of how the characters look. I think a narrator is similar, and the editor as well. I feel like they add, depending on who you get to do the voices or the narration, it creates such a different end result. Like, their interpretation of it makes it what it is.
Yes, I agree.
Jimmy, what do you reckon?
Yeah, like, just the immersion. It's it definitely can elevate completely. And just something that baffles me to this day, like a little while ago, I read something where some people can't imagine things in their mind, and they imagine things differently, or they don't see like they see a blur or they see nothing. So I think for people like that, I think the music and the narration, I think it can really elevate a story. So if they're just reading it, yeah, they might not be able to imagine it completely, but I think the music and sound effects and narration can really just elevate it and bring that emotion for them, assist them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought about it like that. It's like adding accessibility to the story. Yeah.
As a narrator, you can make a huge difference in how a story is interpreted. And I often feel like it becomes a collaborative process somewhat. And it's sometimes it's the smallest things. Like, for example, when I narrate and then I go back and edit the file, I will always tend to take out like the sounds of me breathing. But then again, sometimes you can just use your breath to tell the story, like an intake of breath or sort of pronouncing your words with more air so that it becomes more frantic. Small touches like that can really make, can go a long way, really. Yeah,
definitely. I used to cut out breath all the time in my early days because I couldn't stand hearing it. But then, yeah, just through time, I'm like, no, this really adds. Yes, you need to cut some out that don't fit, but some of them just really, yeah, it helps bring out some of them.
Like, sort of, you go ramble, something happened, and then that happened, and then that happened, and sort of it
yeah,
really kicks up the pace of your story. And like, I use it sparingly because I want it to really have effect when I do use it. But I like playing around with that.
Josh Curran really uses that as well. Sorry.
Thinking of Josh and like sound design and musical coming together quite well. Also, like, the story that comes to mind is the Thomas Joyce story, Loved and Lost or Never at All, where it's like, I think Carl edited that one, and it's like, it's about an imaginary friend, again, spoilers, go listen to the episode, but it's an imaginary friend who I think believes they're real, and at the end they find out they're alone, and they're in this house, and there's a door that they don't know if they want to open, because if they open it, they might realize that they're alone and that they don't actually exist. But all the music, the way it's edited, all the music slowly peels back. Josh's voice gets breathier and more sad and more echoey as he comes to terms with what's happening. And it's just the way it fades out, the way the music just leaves that voice on its own, adds so much to the story, because it's exactly what the author was intending, I believe, by that ending. And the audio design, not so much the adding music or sound effects, but the audio design of peeling back the music adds so much to that story. Yeah, it's amazing how it all comes together sometimes. Cool, so the next topic. You're given an intellectual property or IP of your choice to adapt into an original audio drama. Which IP are you choosing and why? And let's start with Jimmy.
This one I couldn't really put my finger on. But I love Stephen King, as most writers do, and I would really love to do like It as an audio, an immersive audio drama. It would be very long, but I think it would, and it would be very difficult as well, but I think that would be great. There's also something else that Stephen King, he wrote a comic book, American Vampire. I don't know if anyone's read it.
Yeah, Scott Snyder, yeah.
It's amazing. And I've always wanted to do a vampire western audio drama.
Interesting. Josh, what about you?
You know, I think I would want to take Firefly and do that.
Okay, yeah. I'm surprised they haven't done that already.
Yeah, I know. I think they have got something, don't they?
And would you want to get the same actors back? You get like Nathan Fillion and Monica Baker. Yeah. So we've got Carl's got a vampire western, American Vampire, Firefly. Jazz, what are you picking?
I would have to say something by Ursula K. Le Guin. Don't make me choose between Earthsea and the, what's the name of the series, The Left Hand of Darkness. One of those two.
That's been done. It's been done as like an audio. It's not a full audio drama, but it is really good. It's a BBC one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to look that up. Thank you for the tip. So, okay, maybe Earthsea then. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll go with Earthsea.
American Vampire, Firefly, Earthsea. And Carl, what are you saying?
Well, it's funny that I've this thing about the BBC where Jimmy's just confirmed it yet again, where the BBC, which is a British sort of broadcaster in the UK, they make a lot of good stuff and they do a lot of good radio shows, which are broadcast on the radio, but quite often they release them digitally, which you could almost call a podcast. The problem is they hide them, they don't advertise them, and sometimes yes. they actually delete them and take them away. So quite often I've wanted to watch things or hear things, I find out they're on the BBC and it was only available between August 2017 and October 2017. And then I'm like, well, how do I legitimately get this now? And you can't. And that is my little rant about the BBC, over. regarding IP, there is one thing that's come to mind recently. And I'm going to ever so slightly spoil a video game called Horizon Zero Dawn. I won't really spoil it because this all happens within the first few minutes. But the game is basically about an evil corporation, well, not an evil corporation, but a corporation that creates these big machines and there's AI involved and it's very sci-fi. And it all gets out of control. And basically something happens and hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of years later, the game begins and you're in this post-technology world where humans have somehow survived, but they're almost like cavemen. They don't really know how anything works, and you see all these old ruins of our times, and then that's it, and then it becomes a video game. You go around doing video gamey things, you talk to people, you attack enemies, you do all this stuff, and then at the end of the game you get back to the story, and it's fantastic. And it was the story that kept me going. The gameplay was almost irrelevant to me, even though the game was very good. And I almost feel like the story was being held back by the game. And if it could be done as a TV show or a podcast with audio, I feel like it would work so much better. And I don't know whether anybody else here has something, another example where the story is almost being trapped by the medium, or it's the wrong format, or sometimes if something shifts over to another format, it kind of changes. I know, Luke, the toast example we used earlier was a comic, and then that sort of transitioned into audio.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. Some stories do work better in some mediums rather than other mediums. Like I know Little Nightmares, which is one of my favorite game franchises recently, they had an audio drama come out and talk about like more money and more studios. That's like Bandai Namco getting involved in audio drama. But I still feel like Little Nightmares works best when it's no words, when it's just like you are in the environment and you are like exploring this creepy childlike fantasy world. I don't think the audio drama, I don't think it translates as well as it could do into audio drama. So it'd be interesting to see more examples of the reverse stuff that should be told in audio drama or in audio fiction.
Yeah. And I think we are getting that with a lot of comics, aren't we, Luke? Where was it The Sandman and a few other bits and pieces where they were very, very graphically explained, and then they've kind of transitioned over to audio, and then they've put just as much, if not more, effort into the audio, and it's almost worked better. It's crazy.
Yeah, The Sandman one's weird. I did not expect it to work as well as it does in audio. The Audible original, it's like an audio drama, but there's just so much going on, and it's, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a buffet of like sounds and voices. It is pretty awesome. I think for me, I struggle to pin it down. I mean, horror specifically, I'd say I'd love to do like a Clive Barker property, a Hellraiser, or The Cabal or something. But I'd also weirdly like to revisit stuff from my childhood. So I'd like to do like a Power Rangers series, but like make it way more serious and make it way more like scary and terrifying. And also, I know Deadpool's an easy one to say, but that was like the first comic I picked up as a kid, like back in 2001 or something. And I picked it up and it was so up my street that it was difficult to, and also no one else knew about Deadpool at that point. It felt like my own little superhero that no one else knows about. Now, like, he's pretty as big as Spider-Man. But I think that could work quite well in audio, because it's all like you're breaking the fourth wall. It'd be interesting to see how that works in a podcast format.
I just wanted to say, you remember there was a video, like a trailer that came out, and it was Power Rangers, but it was like dark, and it had like James Van Der Beek in it. What was that? That was great. I'm like still waiting for that movie.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really like that. Yeah, I wonder what happened. They did make a newer film, but it didn't go down that darker. Yeah. Yeah. It might have been Bat in the Sun predictions. I think they do a lot of that, where it's like they get IP and make them fight, or they do darker versions of it. Okay, so the last question, last topic. What do you like to see in the other story style story, and what could you do less with?
What I would like to see more of is, oh God, that's a tricky one, because I like being surprised. So I often enjoy the things most where I was like, I never thought of this, or I never saw this coming. So I like more of that. Also, series, I have to agree with Joshua on that, though. I really like finding out more of a world, like bit by bit, every week. That I'm going to go with that, because that and surprises.
Surprises and series.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think we do series as well as what we're already doing. Like, I like the whole theme aspect, because it's like a little mini film festival or something, where you get like one story that I normally like to see, like one story that completely hits the theme on the head but does it in a really great way. But then also I like to see all the other stories approach that theme from a really unique angle, and also like the twist endings or something I really, really enjoy.
They could always be spin-offs, like the other stories presents, and still keep, you know, that way, because I agree with Jimmy that it's, you know, the format that we have is amazing, but if we could just, you know, spin something off, like, oh, you know, like the Lax and Bear series.
Yeah, well, stay tuned on that side. Kyle, what about you?
Yeah, so what I like to see in a story is something that I think a lot of sci-fi shows do really well, and films, which is, what if this thing happens? And that thing could be anything, a possible future. And then, you know, what is the outcome of that? You know, the next day or the next year or the next 1,000 years. So things like, what if Amazon put every single shop out of business? And when I say shop, I mean literally every shop. Anybody tries to make a shop, Amazon just destroys them. What would that world look like if that happened tomorrow? What would it look like 100 years from now? Or what if AI, you know, obviously AI is the big topic at the moment. What if AI suddenly becomes really advanced tomorrow, and we can date an AI, or we can send an AI robot to our jobs and it just does the work for us? Like, okay, that's going to be funny for a week, but then what does that look like in 100 years? And I think obviously Black Mirror, which was a Channel 4 show, which I think is now owned by Netflix, that obviously does that perfectly, and that's been a massive show, and I think people really like that format of taking a simple idea like, what if this little thing happens, and they just run with it, and they really go down as far down the rabbit hole as possible. Something like The Walking Dead, you know, you think, oh, that's a zombie show, but you know, they don't really explain where the zombies come from. It's just, what if zombies tomorrow, and then that's it. It's like, okay, well, let's show you what happens the next day, and Rick Grimes wakes up, and oh yeah, it's cool, the city's like empty. What does it look like 10 years from now? Okay, things are quite different now. And I really like those sort of shows and episodes and stories, basically any kind of story that kind of asks the audience a question, like, what if this thing happens? How would you feel about it? What would it look like? And I feel like it almost acts like a bit of a warning, doesn't it? So even back in the 80s, things like the Terminator films, You know, everybody's seen them. What a great action film. But because of films and stories like that, I think we're all very wary, aren't we? We're all very a bit unsure of, oh, well, we've seen what happens when robots and AI get out of control. We've been pre-warned by all these stories. And I love thinking about stuff like that. And I think a lot of these story writers back in the 50s and 60s who were writing sci-fi for the first time, they were talking about the internet and the computers and things decades before these things were even out. But they could see these things coming, and I feel like the story writers of today can also predict what's going to be happening over the next 50 years.
So you're talking about using genre as a tool to inspect the human condition in terms of these big what if statements, but then also using it as a predictor. And you're right, I think the iPad was on Star Trek in like this.
It was, yeah. You literally see them touching screens in Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah, and also oh my God, my mind's gone blank. What's this flavor? I'm trying to look at my bookshelf. Fahrenheit 451, they'd have basically Apple earpods in throughout most of it.
That's what scares me about zombie movies. oh shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's sort of what the best fiction does. It holds a mirror up to the individual as well as society. And the good ones don't preach about it. They just do the thing and get out. And you don't even realize that you've been looking in a mirror until a day later.
Yeah.
Until the zombie's munching on your face.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, if they come, I will take one for the team because I can't run for shit. So I will slow them down and everyone can get away.
It just makes you wonder, we know how bad these worlds get when zombies invade. Do you really want to survive? Is that going to be fun? Might be more fun just to close your eyes and lie down and, or just take some pills and go to sleep. So coming towards the end of our New Year's roundtable, is there anything else you guys wanted to add before we wrap up?
Just a big thank you from me, really. Thank you to everyone that helps us and works for us and listens to us. Most of the people we work with now, like Jimmy said, listen to the show and then they just reached out. And if it wasn't for people doing that, we wouldn't be where we are today. I think Josh is, well, Josh mentioned it earlier. I think Jazz simply responded to a call out because we didn't have enough female narrators. And, because these people have reached out, it's just allowed us to take the show and our community and what we do to the next level. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, it's also, genuine friendships and stuff. I work alone most of the time, live alone. So being able to chat to people that we're working on and be excited about stuff we're working on together is a lot of fun. I think it's what gets me through the days, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and the feedback you get from that community is so, nothing puts a bigger smile on a creator's face than knowing that someone enjoyed what you made. So we get a lot of that, and that is just, it's so, thank you just for that alone. And also, thank you to the entire team, because I've learned so much working with all of you guys. That's worth a lot as well. So, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Jazz, you've taught me more about English and how to write properly than, it's been amazing how much you've taught me on just that end of things.
You're very welcome, Joshua. And it's a lot of fun working with you and workshopping your stories because you're so eager to learn about stuff. So, definitely mutual.
Okay. Last question then. Where can we follow you and your work? Let's start with Jimmy.
To connect with me on social media, it's at Jimmy Horace. For more of my work, search for After the Gloaming or the Night's End podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Or search for nightsendpodcast.com. For more of my personal work, head to jamesbarnettcreative.com. Thank you.
Cool. Jazz, what about you?
Well, my social media is a huge disaster. So it's the most random and very inconsistent content ever. I wouldn't advise it. I do have a newsletter, which you can subscribe to at jasminearch.com.
Lovely stuff. We'll put links in the show notes as well for this. Joshua?
Currently, the only place you can find me is in our Facebook group for the other stories. I'm on there daily. Come join us. We have some of the most kindest, wonderful people on the internet. We're always sharing memes and encouraging people to write and just have a good time. No politics, no religion, just horror, sci-fi, what the fuck, and thriller.
Cool. And that's facebook.com/groups/ the other stories. Or if you go to theotherstories.net/community, there's some links and bits and pieces there. Carl, what about you?
Yep, so best place to learn about learn about me or what I do would just simply be to visit theotherstories.net. But if you're listening to this, then you probably already know that. You can also find me on Twitter or various other social medias at Carl Hughes. Probably the most active place I am is Discord. So if any of you listening have access to the Other Stories Discord, feel free to find me in there. And that's where we talk about all sorts of random stuff.
Cool, yeah. I think that's, yeah, it's everyone, isn't it? Apart from me. Yeah, so similar to Carl, go to theotherstories.net. I'm pretty sure you're probably sick of me, my voice by this point. But if you do want to follow me, lukecondor.com, KONDOR. Social media, I'm pretty much only on Instagram, but Discord, pretty much live in Discord, sending people annoying pictures and memes and sounds. So yeah, come and join the Discord community. I think that's everything. I don't really know how to wrap this up, so I guess we just say Happy New Year, looking forward to 2024 and what all the stuff we're going to come up with. Can't wait to hear it. And yeah, anyone want to say anything to finish us off?
I would like to say thank you, Luke, as well, for putting this all together.
You're very welcome, Carl. Okay. Nice one. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Until next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.